All right, Luke 12, verse 37. Gary's using both of his hands. A new day has arrived.
Just to please you, like I always try to do.
What?
Just to please you, like I always try to do.
I know. I've always said that about you.
How can I please Holy?
Yeah. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. We started to talk about blessed. It's the Hebrew word barak and the Greek word makarios. And the basic meaning of both is that you're not subject to the fates. You're not subject to the vagaries. It's your how can I say it? God is sovereign in everything. There's nothing that isn't by the will of God. Anybody understand? You're not blessed because anymore. You're not blessed anymore if you would have. What's going on now? If somebody wins a basketball game, they're no more blessed than the one that loses it. It has nothing to do with what you think of as blessed in terms of, it's come to mean that over the years, but that's what people will teach when we hear it. Oh, God has blessed me, got me a new car. No. Not unless you can say, God has blessed me, I just totaled mine.
I've heard people, women say, God has blessed me, I have a healthy child. Is that God blessing her for a healthy child?
God has blessed her. If her child was like Shannon.
Go ahead and say what blessing means.
Not subject to the fate. The fates.
And thinking of it in those terms takes it out of the realm of mere humanity.
All right, let's go to, we're going to look at blessed in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 1.
Not subject to the fates. Yesterday we kind of blew the fates off as being some Greek deal that was nonsense.
Right. They're a Greek invention to justify the vagaries that happen to them in life as they think of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of it is we're not subject to any of that.
It's like saying blessed are the poor.
Right.
Well, they're not feeling so blessed, they're poor. And yet from God's point of view, they're rich.
Amen. All right. Chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, what do they mean, the time is at hand? What time? Yeah, but the point of that saying that the time is at hand is it means the kingdom of God is here, the messianic age is here. That which everybody was waiting to happen, in which they crucified Christ because he didn't meet their standard of what it was, it's here. But it never comes by observation because the kingdom of God is within you.
So it comes by revelation.
It's all here. It's all done. It's all finished. He just wants your mind to see that.
But the perception of it comes by
repentance.
Abandonment, repentance.
How many can honestly say and look around and say, the kingdom of God is here? If you think anything is wrong, you can't say that. If you think anything else needs to be done, you can't say that. Amen?
You almost say it by faith, too, because you don't see it. If you saw it, you can say, oh, there it is, but you don't see it.
That's the point. You've got to see what he sees, hear what he hears. You have to look around and in honesty see that God is all and in all. You see that everything is finished. And you have to see the same thing as he sees.
The kingdom of God has been here for 2,000 years.
Right? That's right.
It was perfected on the cross. It was finished. Yeah.
And the people in the first century and second and third and fourth and umpteenth century were just like you. They're waiting for something else to happen. What?
You just said the kingdom of God is agreeing with him that it started.
Well,
the
kingdom of God has been here since Adam, but again.
Was it perceptible to those before Christ?
It's perceptible to Abel. It's perceptible to Abraham. It was perceptible to Isaac. It's perceptible to all the prophets. To Isaac, to Jacob. Same thing as now. It's perceptible now if you have eyes to see. It was perceptible then if you had eyes to see.
Well, I thought it was his death on the cross and his resurrection.
That was done before the foundation of the world if you had eyes to see. Abel saw. And he was killed by his brother because he saw it. Everybody's still waiting by the vehicle of their mind to see what they think is the promise of God. And it'll never be. Let's go to Luke 17 a minute.
Let's clear up one thing here.
A few weeks ago we talked about the foundation of the world, and you said it started with Cain, and it started Eve.
What?
You said the foundation of the world started in...
No, we were talking about you were with him from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
As Christ in you. You were with him as Cain who slew Abel, as the son of man.
Before
that. Well, it was before the king, before it was only in the mind of God that it was finished.
But the foundation of the world, that's the beginning before the world was created.
Which world?
The world we live on.
What about the pre-Adamic age?
They were on the same world. But in God's mind...
It was finished when we spoke the word.
But in God's mind, we were created in Christ at that time. Before the... What is the foundation of the world, is the question.
It's the beginning of time.
Okay.
And the purpose of time was to test whether or not you would see and live in that which was finished from before the foundation of time. Whether it was you or Abraham or Adam or anybody else.
Right.
You have to see what he sees.
I'm just clearing up this point. The last time we talked, it was in the Garden of Eden.
As Son of Man.
That wasn't the foundation.
The foundation was, listen, you got to understand, Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And you can, if you want to say it another way, you can say you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world.
What's the Bible say?
Well, again, it depends on, when we had that discussion,
yeah.
I was talking about you being there, you being guilty of the death of Abel. You killed Abel. That's what I'm talking, that was what
right,
we were talking about.
That is stuck in my head.
Well, that was what the discussion was about.
So where do we stand now? The foundation of the world was before time.
No, of course not. But when I say that you were there as in Adam, and you, and because Adam, Cain was the son of Adam, and you killed Abel, because out of this, your loin, his loins, you were there. That was why we had the whole discussion about girding your loins. All right? Let's go. Revelation. Oh, no, we're going to Luke 17.
Where are we? Luke 17.
Start in verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with or by observation, neither shall I say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Everybody see that? All right, back to Revelation. I'll go to Revelation 14. We're studying the word blessed, or blessed. This is... Well, let's just read one verse. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. We'll read let's start in verse 13. No, I'm sorry. Verse 12. I'm sorry, Pete. You haven't written it yet.
I know. I have to scratch it out.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Can you see why the... That's, unless you know that and die in the Lord, you can't be blessed. By God's understanding.
I was thinking about that in relation to what we studied yesterday. Isaiah 46, I think it was. How you come to the point of seeing that you're a fabrication of your own mind and culture that you have been brought up in. That's what makes you who you think you are. Been brought up in the next life, you'd be another person or manifesting. But that's what we repent of, die to, which we don't want to do.
Let's go to a
clip. Saying patience, that could also be non-judgment. Is that another interpretation?
No. It's patience. Here is the patience of the saints. What is patience? It's always in this position of being at rest but expectantly waiting.
Say it again, I missed it.
Being at rest but at the same time expectantly waiting. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He blew his nose out. He blew his news. Yeah.
Right.
He blew his nose after. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work which is done under the sun. And again I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor, and this is also vanity and vexation. And we could go on and on. But the point of it is here, it's always, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3.
What does it mean that he praised the dead?
What does it mean to what?
It says, wherefore I praised the dead.
He said they were better off than the living. All right. Well, in chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And that exercise means to be humbled in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which has been is now. That which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. This is why we are to see and be able to confess the Lord Jesus. You don't confess him by saying he exists. You confess him, and it's homo logio, by seeing the same thing he sees, hearing the same thing he hears, and speaking the same thing he speaks. That's what confession means. See how all that fit together? My prayer, you do. Okay, Revelation 16. I'm going to quit going in silence. We'll never finish. There's another vow I have to burn. This is again this word about blessed. Let's just do one verse of Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he be walk naked and they see his shame. Blessed. He that watcheth. And that's this whole theme that we're studying, this idea of waiting expectantly, but being at rest. All right, Revelation 19. Start in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, or of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are you if you're called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's all we're waiting for. That keeps his garment from being spotted by the flesh or anything else. And spot his garment, the garment is the righteousness of Christ. It's fine linen, clean and white. Once you return to the flesh for anything, your garment is spotted. Once you return to your mind for anything, the garment is spotted by the flesh. Amen? You're doing it, Gary. You're shaking your head while you're inside musing.
That's a sort of amen.
Huh?
I saw in 6 where it talks about the this qualifies the bride in the sense of crying Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, that those are the people of the bride. And then he goes ahead and confirms that in the next sentence. But I was thinking about that's what finally we come to, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. When we can say that, we're home, we're free, we're transfigured, or whatever the language is.
It's the sovereignty. Remember, we've talked about this, the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. But what I was kind of musing is this, you talked about repentance, or falling away and going back to the created, the self-created being that we repent of. But I'm just seeing the self in the new light after yesterday, how it's clear to me to know what I'm repenting of when I repent. And it's repenting of who Gary has made himself into.
You're repenting of sin.
Of sin, self, same thing. And it's just so easy to understand now what the game is, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the flesh is playing the game. The reality is abandonment of that. And trusting God.
All right, Revelation 22. Well, let's restart in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And again, anytime something is in the forehead, it's a parable for how your mind is working. That's why, as long as you are trying to do something, anything, then the number is 666666666, because it can never reach 7. You can never be at rest. As long as you're in the mind, you will never be at rest. You can act like you are, but God sees. And that's where the garment is spotted by the flesh. It's by the mind. When you turn to the mind, when you return to your emotions, and the garment is spotted by the flesh, and the only way to cleanse it is by repentance. Anyway. And they shall see his face, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Again, so the blessed are the saying, you that keep the prophecies of this book. And it's not prophecy as for, it's not telling the future. That's not the meaning of prophecy. It's foretelling the completed work that's shown in the book of Revelation. It's not foretelling any longer. It's forthtelling. Amen?
Being.
Huh?
Same thing as being. Foretelling, being. Prophesying instantly.
It's the same thing as what confess the Lord Jesus means. It means you've seen the same thing as he, you've heard the same thing as, and you've seen the same thing, therefore you speak and think the same thing. So it's, if you this, it's blessed are the ones that, well, let's read it again. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And you keep the sayings of the prophecy by always being and knowing that your life is Christ. You don't even exist. Except as a vessel. All right. Now we're going to go... Well, let's read. We're going to read. We'll end here. I'm blessed. And verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. Again, you see, what you see is what you hear. Or vice versa. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. That's how you're created. You can hear and see. But if your mind isn't transfigured, you'll continually to see and be involved in, and talk about the things of the world. Because out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right. That's not what we're saying. Then he saith unto me, see thou do... wait a minute. And I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, or time is here. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed. Going to look at some of the same, because it's the guy, the angel, was really not an angel, he was a man. He was a fellow being, just like John. He said, don't worship me, you idiot. He didn't say that, but that was sort of implied. All right, any thoughts, any responses, any questions? Meet again, we're going to study the word servant that guy used, and which every one of the writers of the Testament put their words, the fact that they were a servant first when they were describing what they did. Why am I a servant? Then a blah blah, then an apostle. Everybody understand perfectly. Your lips are doing a trick.
Well, you're always trying to trick us with that statement. I know that. I don't really understand perfectly. So I had to think it over before I could say okay.
Would I try to trick anybody?
Yes. If they take a picture, I can.
Me?
Moi? Take it, big guy.